time I'd like to have a special number written by Aaron and Matt Kelly, which is called Lead Me to the Rock, and it's kind of a background for the sermonette, which we'll get shortly.
Saul went forth with his chosen men.
I'd like to welcome all of you here to Nature Retreat 13. And for those of you who are listening to the CDs and the tapes, we'd like to welcome you also and wish you could be here with us in person, but since you can't be, why, we're thankful to be able to share what we have with you. The service today, and it's on a Saturday, is coming from the Sportsman's Club here in Trempealeau, Wisconsin, which is located on the banks of the mighty Mississippi River and adjacent to the fantastically beautiful Perot State Park. And on the third Saturday of every year, for the last 13 years, we've had what we call our nature retreat, where we, my wife and I, invite friends that we've met during the past years. Some members, some haven't been, but they all have a love for Scripture and a love for nature. And we gather here in the morning, have a hike culminating at the top of beautiful Brady Bluff, which is about 530 feet above the level of the beautiful Mississippi River bottoms. The view is just simply fantastic. And the Lord God has blessed us with intense natural beauty here in this area. And this is a day when we like to combine nature with Scripture. So we come back, have a meal, have a Bible study, and this part of the day with a little sermon, a little church service, a worship service, and we'll conclude the day, some of us around the bonfire, with Christian fellowship. Last year, we studied a huge pile of rock that was built down in Egypt. It's called the Great Pyramid. And this year we're going to be studying animals that climb high on the rocks and find their safety in very high places. Now, I don't know exactly how to say this, but God has admittedly given some of us greater abilities in some areas than others, special gifts. And this is nothing that we're proud about. It's something we've been given, and I have been given one. The Lord God has given me a tremendous ability to forget names 2 seconds after I've heard them. And I can be introduced to somebody and 30 seconds later and have the slightest idea what their name is. I don't know of anybody that can do it as well as I can. But about 20 years ago, my wife and I attended a travelogue over in Michigan and was given by a man, and I still remember his name. This is a surprise some of you because I remember that, because I've got kind of a memory hitch. And the memory hitch is this, that the guy has the same last name as my wife. His name is John Cooper. What gets me mixed up sometimes is the memory hitch. I forget whether it's her maiden name or her married name. But John Cooper gave a travelogue. He was one of many that did this. It went around taking pictures of either wild animals or different countries or whatever. And he spent many, many months out in the state of Colorado filming and taking pictures of bighorn sheep. Colorado has the greatest accumulation of bighorn sheep of any other place in the world. And we've all seen pictures of bighorn sheep. And you know, I always thought, well, it's no big deal to get one. Some guy is standing there with a telephoto lens, standing on the road and taking a picture of a sheep a half a mile away. But that's usually not the way it is with bighorn sheep. Bighorn sheep climb high, high, high into the rugged mountains where the jagged cliffs touch the clouds. And very often they're hidden by crags and juts of rock around them. And sometimes you have to be very, very close to get pictures. And this can be extremely dangerous. John told us about one time when he almost lost his life taking the picture that he was showing us on the screen. It was a beautiful picture. He had spent the morning out in the mountains of Colorado taking pictures, and he had a pair of binoculars along, and he happened to spot a bighorn sheep way, way up eating in a little patch of grass. And it looked like a beautiful animal, and he wanted to get a picture of it. Now, these animals are very shy and suspicious creatures. If you want to get it close to them, get a picture, you've got to be very, very quiet, and you've got to stay out of sight as much as possible. So he did that, crawling on hands and knees for about 3 hours over hard rock, higher, higher, higher. And finally, he looked out from behind a rock, and there it was. It was a beautiful female sheep. They're called ewes. And there was a little trail, a little rock trail that had come around the side of the mountain that was only about 6 or 8 inches wide. And she had come out along this trail onto a little patch of grass that was very short, it was only about 2, 2.5, 3 feet wide, 2 or 3 feet long, and she was busy eating and grazing there. So John started taking pictures, and then all of a sudden he saw something that he hadn't known before, and that is that there was a great big ram that was about 100 yards up above where the ewe was feeding. And the ram saw her feeding and evidently thought the same that John did, that here is a beautiful creature. So he started running down the mountain toward the ewe. And one point a little bit later, these bighorn sheep have the amazing ability of being able to run almost full speed down a mountain, which is so treacherous that you and I would have trouble even climbing it. And so this ram was coming down full speed toward the female eating there, and she then didn't see him and evidently finished her meal, and she turned and went back along the path that she'd come out on. Well, by the time the ram got down to where she was gone. He couldn't stop, and he kept going right over the edge. And he was coming right down toward the photographer. And as John said, these things weigh, 250 pounds. He sees this great big ram coming down. He ducks as fast as he can to avoid being killed, knocked off the ledge he was on. And the thing passed over him about 2 or 3 inches from him. And as it passed over, it noticed the photographer there, and it turned and said, "Man, I didn't see that U-turn." Now, that's what John said. I don't know how true that is, but it sounded good to me. But the bighorn sheep are absolutely amazing creatures, and they have some characteristics that really reminded me as I studied them of what a child of God should be. And then a picture of something in their life that is a perfect example of the power of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does for you and for me. The passage that got me going on this was 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 2. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. The wild goats find safety on the high rocks. And David had a time in his life when he had to imitate them. He was being hunted mercilessly by King Saul, who was out to kill him. And he had 3,000 chosen warriors with him. And David took his men, a little group of about 600, and they fled to the wilderness of En-Gedi. The word En-Gedi means the fountain of the goat. And there David and his men found safety crawling up into the high crags that touch the clouds. Now, Saul and his men couldn't get up that high, but David and his men were up there with the wild goats. And this is the main defense mechanism that the wild goats have. They crawl up to high places for safety. In Job 39, verse 1, the Holy Spirit tells us this: "Knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve?" those who have studied these marvelous creatures tell us that when the pregnant female is about to give birth to her young, she leaves the flock and goes to a solitary place, usually very, very high, in very slippery and dangerous places. She wants to be alone with her little one. She wants privacy and intimacy, and she'll do anything she can to get it. I don't know, but I seriously doubt whether any human being has ever seen a wild goat give birth. It would be a miracle if you could do it. Psalm 61, verse 2, just a few passages. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And over again in Scripture, the Lord God is compared to the rock. A high rock. A rock that is so high that the enemy can't get at you if you're there. The same thought is mirrored in Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes from the hills, from whence cometh my help. And Psalm 104, verse 18 puts it this way, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats. In a minute, we're going to see why. But just a few facts. As far as the bighorn sheep are concerned, they are the equivalent of the wild goats in Holy Scripture. Same characteristics. The males are called rams. The females are called ewes. They both have horns. The horns of the ewe is more of a gentle curve to it. The picture on the bulletin shows two ewes high up on the rocks. And most of you have probably seen the pictures of the ram horns. They form almost a complete circle. Some of them are so heavy that they comprise up to 10% of the total body weight. The male rams can go up to 7 feet long, weigh up to 250 pounds. Females usually about 150. And very, very shy creatures. Good eyesight. They can spot things a long ways away. And you very seldom see them alone. They like to be together, except when the female is going to give birth. The leader of the flock has to have a number of characteristics. He has to be able to see very, very well so he can spot enemies, mountain lions, wolves, etc., when they're approaching. And then the leader also has to know how to get to the high, dangerous places, and they can do that. They crawl over places that are so dangerous that the predators are actually afraid to follow. Hungry though they may be, they all conclude that it's better to go to bed with a hungry stomach than to plunge hundreds of feet to your death. Now, as far as the males go, every year there's a period they call the squaring off period. And this comes during the mating season. If two of the rams happen to be interested in the same ewe, why, they fight it out. They pace off about 100 feet apart from each other, and then they come charging at each other as fast as they can, and they have a collision. Now, the horns smashing together. And they'll do this over and over and over again until one of them is so weak that he staggers away in defeat. And those who have seen this happen say it's an amazing sight. I can believe that. And you can hear it up to 2 miles away. Now, these creatures are truly a marvel of nature for at least two different reasons. And one of them is their feet. My daughter Erin happened to see some of these a while back ago, and the remark she made to me was, their feet are so tiny. And they are. They're very, very small, considering the bulk of the animal. The males can be 7 feet long, weigh 250 pounds, and yet the feet are so very, very small. And it's in the feet they find their safety. Each foot has two cushions on it. They're leather-like cushions that enable the ram or the ewe to stand on any kind of surface that you can imagine. Whether it's wet or dry, doesn't make any difference. Smooth or sharp, hard or soft, they can stand on it. And they have this ability of running full speed down these very dangerous mountains. They've got a couple of claws in each one of their feet that act like brakes. And they put them on and off, on and off, on and off. So start, stop, and they kind of jitterbug almost as fast as they can run going down these slopes. It's evidently almost an unbelievable sight. I've never seen it, and I wish that I could. They have extremely quick coordination. You know, we've got athletes in this world who are well coordinated. They're making millions of dollars a year. They've got nothing on these animals. They are so well coordinated, they can twist and turn in a split second, and they can take advantage of every little nook and cranny on these hard rocks. And I've got a statement I'm going to read here that I don't believe it. I think it's an overstatement. I can't imagine it being true, but there's some truth to what's said. The whole statement is this. It requires great skill to catch a goat. The animal leaps from ledge to ledge recklessly, amazing a pursuer with its sure-footedness. Now, this is the statement. It is reported, the guy doesn't say who reports this, it is reported to be able to slide down the mountains, halt with all 4 feet drawn together on a projection scarcely larger than a penny, and then leap over a wide crevice, alighting with precision upon a projection piece of rock. I can't imagine an animal weighing 250 pounds, 7 feet long, that could stand on a little piece of rock just a little larger than a penny. But I believe there's some truth in what the man says. They can stand on a very, very small piece of rock and then jump across a large chasm and land on a little outcrop on the other side. How sure-footed they are. It's a God-given ability that enables them to escape from their enemies. They find safety on the high rocks, and that's exactly where you and I find it. There's another amazing ability that God has given them, or none of this would be possible, and that is that they have a very complicated digestive system. It's called a 9-stage digestive system. I believe the most complicated digestive system of any being on the face of the earth. The number 9 in Scripture has to do with, it's a very important number in the Bible, it has to do with God's fullness and completeness. We have a term in our own day that kind of mirrors that, the whole 9 yards. If you get the whole 9 yards, that means you got it all. Nothing is held back. Well, these animals have a 9-stage digestive system, which enables them to eat plants and live off them that other animals simply couldn't. They'd starve to death. These things can eat just about any plant. And because of their complicated digestive system, they can digest it, get nourishment from it, and live. And they would have to have this to survive on the high places, because there's not much that can grow up there. They're one of the few animals that use caves for shelter. They actually live in caves. And when I found that out, it reminded me of Elijah, who dwelt in that cave on Mount Horeb, and he saw the earthquake and the fire and strong winds, and it was while he was in the cave that he heard the still small voice. And this gets back to that digestive system again, doesn't it? You and I are not only supposed to taste the Word of God, we're supposed to digest it. And you know, there aren't many people that can do that. They don't have 9-stage digestive systems that can take the whole thing. They'll take part of it. But there are parts that they don't like, and they don't want, and they don't take it. But a true child of God takes it all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, the whole nine yards. Now, the bighorn sheep is a picture of our spiritual condition, going up to high places. And in order to do that, we have to have somebody guiding our steps, and there are an amazing number of passages in Scripture that talk about this. I'm only going to give you a few. Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in all his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Job said, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? That's Job 31:40. You might want to remember that passage. Job was suffering intensely. His whole world had blown up. We have times like that too. And when the dark storm clouds are overhead, it's nice to know that God guided our steps. And he's still guiding our steps, and he brought us where we're at for a reason. David almost made a mistake. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I guess all of us can relate to this. But times in our life when it seems like for the children of the devil, everything works out. And the children of God have one trial after another. One thing after another going on. And you wonder, what you've got to do is look to the end of the matter. The psalm continues, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. They're riding high, all right. They're not going to stay there. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought down into destruction? As in a moment, and they are utterly consumed with terrors. The child of God, Psalm 18, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. Remember, they're yours. They belong to you. And though your devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, God is going to guide you up into high places where the enemy is afraid to follow. One more simply amazing happening. If you want to know how the Holy Spirit works, you won't find a better example in nature than we've got right here with the bighorn sheep. And yes, the Holy Spirit sometimes in Scripture is compared to a woman and a mother. There's a happening in the life of these sheep that is called owning the lamb. O-W-N-I-N-G, owning the lamb. What does that mean? I'm going to read it to you word for word. This is amazing. When a ewe feels the pains of birth, she leaves the company of the flock and seeks solitude. Finding a quiet spot on the cover of rocks and brush, she gives birth to either one or two young. Once the lambs are born, an important procedure takes place known as owning the lamb. The mother licks her newborn thoroughly clean, washing it from head to foot. How often in Scripture the Word of God is compared to water. And the picture of us being washed clean and cleansed by the water of the Word, and this is what the Holy Spirit does. Same thing that this mother does to her newborn. The ceremony takes about 20 to 30 minutes, but if it is not done, the lamb is doomed. Why? During this washing, the mother imprints herself on her young. From that point on, only she will accept the lamb when it comes to nurse. If she does not recognize it, she'll turn it away. It is vital for the lamb to know which ewe is its mother, for if it cannot identify its mother and go to her, it will be denied milk by the others and will eventually starve to death. The owning of the lamb. The licking also serves another purpose. At birth, the lamb is warm. Exposure to cold air chills the lamb, and it is very important that it be dried off as quickly as possible. By licking the lamb dry, the mother cleans it and fluffs its hair. The vigorous rub down stimulates body circulation and is an encouragement to the lamb to rise to its feet and begin nursing, replenishing, and building its food supply so that its body has energy to produce heat. Now there's another amazing thing when you stop to think about it. The bighorn sheep find their safety on high rocks. That's where they live, where for other animals it would be constant danger. When the mother is about to give birth, she seeks solitude and goes up even higher. When the lamb is born, the little one is born, physically, it is in a very, very dangerous location. How easily it could slip and fall hundreds of feet to its death. But how quickly it grows. The very first day that the little one is born, it can climb mountains. And by the end of 2 weeks or three, it can go anywhere that the mother can go. The mountain lions can't go there. The wolves can't go there. The cougars can't go there. But the little one can. A little one. A little one. Nursed by its mother, follows her wherever she goes. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what the Holy Spirit does with little ones. And do you see the tragic mistake that's being made in so many of the churches of our day? See what it is? It's despising the Holy Spirit. And it's taking away the milk of the Word which the Holy Spirit wants to give. The idea being that little children can't understand the Word of God. Certainly a newborn can. Well, according to whom? I've known seminary professors who have doctors on their degrees that can't understand the Word of God. The understanding of the Word doesn't come through a high IQ or an education or a degree hanging upon a wall. The only way anybody, talking about a newborn or somebody that's 100 years old or anywhere in between, the only way anybody can understand this is if the author of the book opens the meaning to them, and the author of the book is the Holy Spirit. It's a tragic mistake then to substitute man-made trash, I don't care how attractive it might be, pamphlets and pictures and rehashes and all that sort of thing, substituting that for the Word of God. What is going to happen to a lamb that is fed that stuff? Every Christian parent should follow the example here of the bighorn sheep and the owning of the lamb. And make sure that you study Scripture in the presence of your little one as soon as it's born. I know it can't answer questions. I know it can't talk. He or she can't. I know that. I've raised four of them. But who knows what they can understand in the heart? And what the Holy Spirit is opening to their heart while mom and dad are studying Scripture and they're maybe even sleeping in the cradle in the same room. The Holy Spirit is extremely powerful. And he leads his people to safety on the high rocks. I will conclude our service by singing the following last hymn in your in the bulletin, the hymn, That All Things Now Living.